The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. In 2026, God needs a church that is willing to do whatever it takes to follow Him and obey Him. We have to understand in this day that the calling of the Lord does not come at our convenience. Many times we have to leave everything behind to follow God. This means our ambitions, our desires, our plans, whatever it is that we would be willing to prioritize God over what we want. In Matthew chapter 13, starting with verse 44, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy, went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. This means that it doesn't apply only to our salvation, which when we discover Jesus, for the first time, it really is like that. It's like, yeah, I'll leave behind the world. I'll leave behind my old nature. I'll leave behind my old ways to come and follow you, Jesus, right? It's like that when you get this transforming power of Jesus touching your heart. When you really encounter the fact that, wow, I need a savior. I got to turn my life around, right? You'll leave everything behind to follow Jesus. But what I'm telling you today, brothers and sisters, is that the calling of God on your life is like this too. That it is a precious treasure, and you need to be willing to even give up everything just to get a hold of this thing that God has promised you. Remember what God said to Abraham. He said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to do all these things, but you need to leave your father's household. You need to leave this place that you know and go out into the unknown, a land that you do not know of, but I am leading you to it, right? So he had a willingness to leave everything behind to come and follow God. I want us to contextualize this parable in the modern day, the way that many of us treat our faith walk. Imagine that you are like this man that Jesus talks about, where he found a treasure hidden in a field, okay? The vast majority of us, if we were to discover something like this, well, what would happen is that then we would say, well, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm standing and believing that you're going to give me that field. I decree and declare that that field will be mine. And we stop there. That's it. I'm going to stand by faith. And meanwhile, I'm not going to do anything to pursue this treasure that God showed me. So is it actually walking by faith? Or are we saying that I stand by faith, right? Are we saying that I have faith and meanwhile we are expecting everything to fall in our lap? That it's just gonna plop in, the funds are just gonna show up, and there you're gonna be able to pay for the field in cash, no effort, no sacrifices, no nothing. Right? So it's not actually walking by faith. It's expecting that everything is going to be handed to you without any work or effort. That is an entitlement mindset. And you wonder why in the world there's so many issues with entitlement. People talking about what's owed to them and they deserve this and they deserve that. That attitude is in the church. Well, I am a child of God, and so I deserve this, and I deserve that. And don't you know that I am called as a prophet or an apostle, so I deserve to have my ministry, and I deserve to have all these things. Jesus didn't say that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who found a treasure and then he said, thank the Lord for it, and said, thank you, God, the field is mine. No, he went and he sold everything to get that treasure. God is able to move supernaturally, but if there's something within our power to do, God expects us to do it in faith. For many years at Freedom Fellowship Church and Sons of God International, we have been talking about how God wants to put his church in positions of power and influence around the nations. And I'm not just talking politically speaking, right, as far as like the government goes. I'm also talking about industries, institutions, all kinds of forms of technology, science, education, every sector of society. God wants to put his people that they will have the resources and influence. And the Lord has given us over the years many instructions to prepare for this. One of these instructions is that we are supposed to do everything that we can do. If there's something within your power to do it, you should do it. And let's face it, the calling of God, it is impossible. Okay, it's going to be bigger than you, but there's still things that you can do to walk your faith and obedience to God. So start walking your faith. Right, think for example, imagine that you are Noah, and suddenly you receive this big blueprint. Okay, here is the ark. And here's what it's going to be made of. Here's the materials. Here's the blueprint. Here's the schematics and all the measurements and everything that you need to do. The majority of us, we would receive that vision and then we would twiddle our thumbs and say, well, thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to provide the way to pay for this ark. You're going to provide the way to build it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And then we go about our lives not changing anything. But you still have to build the boat. Right? If you receive the vision and God says, build this boat, you got to start building. And by the way, I don't know if you know, if you've been to the hardware store recently, if you've looked at the cost of lumber, lumber isn't cheap, right? Tools these days are not cheap. So you're going to have to work in a budget to start building it out. And this is exactly what Noah did. He received a vision from God and now his life got rearranged in order for him to fulfill the vision that God gave him, right? So in our day, that means, okay, I've got my job with my income. I've got my budget. Here's my rent. Here's my utilities, right? Here's all of my expenses, okay? I now need to allocate a chunk of that money to make sure that I can build this ark, right? I'm going to allocate, make sure that every free weekend I've got, I'm spending time building the ark, right? Maybe I wanted to go on that vacation. Okay, I'm going to postpone that a little bit so I can put more money towards the thing that God told me to do. Because brothers and sisters, when there's something we want to do or something that we view that's important, we will prioritize it, right? If we know that we want to purchase a house within the next few years, what's going to happen? You're going to start saving up money for that down payment. Right? When you talk to a financial advisor, he's talking about, well, what age do you want to retire? How much money do you want to retire with? Right? And he'll tell you, well, if you put aside this much money over 20 years, over 30 years, this is how much you're going to retire with. We will prioritize these things that we want to do in life, and we'll even invest months and years of our life towards that end because we want it. Are we willing to do the same for God? You see, a lot of times we have set in stone our plans. Okay, I want to get a house here. I want to retire here. I want to work here. Irrespective of what God's will for our life is. And what has to change in the church is that God has to be at the center, right? So if God has given you a vision, no matter how big or how small it is, your life needs to be structured around the vision that God has given you, right? So do you understand how now us just saying, well, I believe, thank you, Lord, I'm just gonna, and then just going about our day is not actually faith, right? If God has shown you something, he's given you a vision, then you need to be willing to spend the time and resources to fulfill the vision that God has given you. We cannot be the kind of people that are just going to expect other people to sacrifice for us. other people to pray and fast on our behalf, because then why wouldn't God just give it to them? If they're willing to make the sacrifice, if they're willing to give, why wouldn't he just give it to them? Right? While we sit around and do nothing? And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, if you seek the Lord out, he will give you instructions. I remember several years ago, the Lord rearranged my career path. He spoke to me one day and he said, "You need to learn how to program." At the time, I didn't know anything about code, right? I could use a computer, but I didn't know anything about code, okay? But that was the instruction. God said, "You need to learn to program." So what happens in that scenario, right? We could just, you know, put up our hands. Well, thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, for imparting the knowledge about computers and things into me. If I had done that, nothing would have happened. No, instead, you have your regular job. That's what I did. I had my regular job. And then at night, I would start trying to learn how to program, right? You do lessons, you do whatever it is. But I had to walk my faith and obedience before the Lord. Now, the amazing thing, though, is that when we walk our faith, right? So here I am, I'm working, regular job, and then I'm learning to program at night or on the weekends in my free time, right? So in this scenario, my schedule has now been rearranged to make room for the vision that God has given me. Now, what happens is that when we walk by faith with the Lord, he has this way of multiplying your efforts where, for example, you thought, oh, it's going to take me years or it's going to take me months or whatever it is. And the amazing thing is that through the Holy Spirit, he will accelerate your efforts. So brothers and sisters, from the moment I begun and I had purposed in my heart that I was going to obey the Lord, the Holy Spirit started to give me understanding. But it wasn't until I began walking my faith. Right? So I would be taking a lesson, how to program this thing or how to program that thing. And as I would do it, the Holy Spirit illuminated my understanding. And he said, also, Joshua, look at this. Also, look at that. And what about this? To where suddenly my progress happened much more rapidly than it would have happened normally because the Holy Spirit was a part of it. This is not different than like it was in the time of Daniel. It says to Daniel and to his three friends, God gave all manner of wisdom and understanding. It came from God. So the Lord accelerated my learning process. And let me tell you, within 2 years, I was not just programming as my main career. I was a lead developer for several projects, right? So within 2 years, I didn't get an entry-level position. I had a senior-level position. And the whole time, I was just thinking of how quickly these things happened, but it's because I was willing to rearrange my life to obey God. And this is what it will be like for those that walk by faith, right? You got to step out of the boat, but once you do, suddenly you find yourself walking on water. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, many times I felt out of my depth. I had to go to the Holy Spirit because if you feel like technology, you know, evolves and changes quickly, when you're actually in the technology industry, it's changing even faster. There's all kinds of new things that pop up all the time. And then people come and ask you, well, what about this piece of technology? How do you feel about this database architecture? How do you feel about this? I had so many questions, so I had to pray a lot. And the amazing thing is that the Holy Spirit would guide me. And it's, you know, say there's a new project. We need this application that has all of these features and does this and that. And I would have to go before the Lord. And you know that God would give me precise architectural decisions for those applications. He would say, you're going to use this kind of database. Sometimes it's something I'd never heard of before. You're going to have your servers deployed like this. You're going to have things hosted here. You're going to use this programming language. God gave me precise instructions because I consulted him regarding these things. And because of that, I was able to implement these things with full confidence. Okay, well, this is what God said the architecture is going to look like, so we're going to implement this plan. Okay, but the important thing that we have to take from this is that you need to be willing to do the work. Just like Noah, even though he received the full vision, if he didn't begin building the boat, he would have wound up caught up in that flood, same as everybody else. So be willing to build the boat. Do what is within your power. If you've received a vision from the Lord, maybe it's a business concept. Maybe he showed you some designs, okay? Right? Let's say, for example, he shows you some new novel invention, okay? And he even shows you this is the equipment that you're going to need to construct this invention and put it together. And this, right, he shows you all the equipment you need. He shows you the facilities. And let's say you begin looking it up and you tally it together and the total costs you $30,000. With the attitude that we've been taking in the recent generations, it's like, well, thank you, Lord. I believe, stand and believe that the $30,000 is going to appear. That is not walking by faith. That is actually trying to wish away your need to walk your faith, right? Because you're just wishing that it'll appear without you having to put any effort in. So if you know, okay, I need $30,000, what would you do? Well, just like anything else that you want in life, you're going to examine what it's going to take for you to get there. Okay, well, here's my income. Here's my expenses, okay? I can afford to set aside this much a month every month until I get there. So let's say, for example, you map it out and, you know, maybe you don't have that much room. So you map it out, okay, to get to $30,000 to purchase this equipment, it's going to take me 2 or 3 years. You can still begin walking it. And what will happen is that as you choose to begin walking in faith and obedience to God, he will multiply your efforts. This thing that you did by your own power in obedience to the Lord, maybe it was going to take 2 years or 3 years. Suddenly, because you walk by faith, God might make it happen within 6 months or a year. But he wants to know that we are willing to do whatever it takes to obey him. If he has already shown you the vision, if he's already shown you what he wants to do in your life, what he wants you to do, then you can start walking towards that vision. So if you're like, no, if God showed you the blueprint for a boat, you start building. If God showed you a book, maybe about healing, about this or that, rather than just waiting around, oh, I wish that, oh, I got to get a publisher, I've got to get an editor, you can start writing. Why are you waiting another day to obey God? We have to arrange our life around the plan and purpose that God has given us. And I'll close with this, which is in Genesis chapter 25 and Genesis chapter 27. It tells the story of Jacob and Esau. Now, in this story, God favors Jacob and blesses Jacob over Esau. And this is even though Jacob, he lied, he was deceitful, right? Used trickery in these things. But the difference between the two of them was that Jacob desired and valued the blessing of God. And Esau felt entitled to it. And this is what happens. So Esau was born first. So he knew as the firstborn, okay, well, I'm going to get the blessing of the firstborn, right? My father is going to bless me. And I'm going to have this inheritance and all these things. So what happens is that one day when Esau, when he's been out hunting all day, out in the heat, and he's hot and sweaty and all these things, he comes back home hungry, right? And I don't know if you guys, I don't know what it is about physical labor, but when you've been out in the sun all day, sometimes you come home and you could just eat an ox, right? It's just you come home hungry. So Esau comes home starving. And it says in Genesis chapter 25, verse 29, once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. And he said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. Jacob replied, first, sell me your birthright. And Esau is kind of snarky. So he says, look, I'm about to die. What good is my birthright to me if I starve to death? But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Right? And probably in Esau's head, he thought, well, it's mine already. Right? I'm the firstborn, so I'm going to get my birthright. Who cares what I say? Right? Who cares what Jacob does? I'm entitled to my birthright. So in Esau's mind, he was already owed the birthright. It was a done deal. It was a sure thing. He didn't have to put any effort in. He didn't even have to value it because it's already his. But God saw this. And the scripture says, so Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. And so in doing so, Esau despised his birthright. He did not value his birthright or the blessing of God. And Jacob, even though he was being deceitful and trying to pressure Esau, he valued it. He said, I'm going to do whatever I can to get this blessing. And so later on, two chapters later, Isaac is getting old. His eyes are getting weary. One day when Esau is out, Jacob goes in dressed up as Esau. He gets a fake beard, gets some fake hair and all these things. And he pretends to be his brother and gets Isaac to bless him. Right? So here he is. He's kind of lying. But God favored the imperfect Jacob who lied and was deceitful over Esau because Jacob valued the blessing of God. He valued that birthright. And there are many Christians that do not value what God has given them. I mean, and think of the kind of attitude that Jacob had. I mean, later on when the Lord appears to Jacob at night, Jacob wrestles with God. He wrestles with God all night. God breaks his hip. And Jacob says, no, I am not going to let go until you bless me. And so when the sun finally comes up, the Lord says, I'm changing your name to Israel because you have wrestled with God and succeeded. And the Lord blesses him. You have to be willing to do whatever you can do within your power to obey the Lord. And yeah, we're not supposed to lie. Jacob was a liar. We're not supposed to deceive people. Okay. We're supposed to act righteously. But in that scenario, God favored Jacob because between the two, he valued the Lord's blessing. And if you really take seriously the calling that God has placed on your life, you will start walking your faith and obedience today with fear and trembling. Whatever it is the Lord has shown you, you can begin walking. And for those of you that feel like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what my calling in life is. This is something we've talked about the past few weeks, which is that Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Knock and the door will be opened. So if you don't know what God's calling on your life is, then spend time with the Lord. Get into the secret place. Pray before the Lord until you receive the vision. But the thing is that, you know, for those of you that have maybe been saying, well, I don't really know what to do. Have you actually spent time seeking God and spending time with him? And if we're honest with ourselves, we know that, you know, maybe we have not been seeking the Lord with all our heart. So in this day, God is raising up men and women of God who value his calling and will do everything in their power to obey God, no matter what other people say, no matter what they even think, no matter what their desires or their ambitions are, they will lay it all aside to obey God. And it is those people that have that hunger for the Lord that God will use mightily in the miraculous in this mighty move of God starting in 2026. So 2026 is the year where we need to begin doing everything we can to obey the Lord. Choose today. And maybe you are looking at your life and maybe you have regrets and feel like, well, I didn't obey God here. Or I didn't obey God there. Let me tell you that you can choose today. You know what? It doesn't matter what I did in the past. Today, I'm going to obey the Lord. And God will see that and he will bless you and he will be with you. So get excited, brothers and sisters. The Lord has said that this move of God he's bringing is a move the likes of which has never happened in the history of the church. It's time for us to get ready because the fields are ripe for harvest. But I am out of time for this week, so I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.